This is the GMC Software Inspirecast, your weekly source for breaking news on customer communications and customer experience technology trends, featuring your host, Mirza Beg.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners out there in podcast listener land, or as I'd like to call it, the listeners of the Inspirecast podcast. Your host, Mirza Beg, here with you, and I have two very special guests. We have Jack Guarnieri out in New Jersey. He is the founder of a pinball machine company called Jersey Jack Pinball. Quite a treat today. And we have our very own Scott Drager for this time round with the Inspirecast. He is our VP of product out at GMC Software. So we're going to talk up customer experience and the overall experience of the classic pinball machine. I'm going to let my age speak for myself, but I grew up playing these things. And I got to say, Jack, you have completely reinvented the game. And I'm going to that point, hand it over to my colleague, Scott. And he's as much of an enthusiast and even more of an aficionado on pinballs and pinball machines. And I'll let him speak to that point. So right now, I'm going to hand over the mic to Scott. And I'll just put myself on mute. Scott, over to you, my friend.
Thanks, Mirza. And for anybody listening to the Inspirecast, thinking you might be on the wrong podcast, we're usually talking about bills and statements and sending messages to your phones and tablets and your mailbox and email. We wanted to do something a little bit different. And I'm very excited to have Jack from Jersey Jack's Pinball today because we want to talk about innovation. So, Jack, welcome to the podcast. We have a couple good questions for you today. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. I'm always feeling great, really. Why not? If you're building pinball machines and you bring your fun into the world, you should be having a really good time.
And one of the things, I've been a pinball machine collector and a player for a long time, and one of the things I like about what you've done specifically at Jersey Jack's is you kind of walked into an industry that didn't see much innovation for probably 10 or 15 years, and you decided to enter big and shake it up with new technology. How did you decide to do that?
Well, you know, I've been in the industry for many years. I'll say more than 30 because I don't want to give my age away. But we took really the best loved things about pinball machines, and we kept them. And then what we did was we innovated with new technology, things that had never been done in pinball before. I mean, our latest game, you can actually connect a mobile device to it and flip the flippers. So we brought in things that were never done, all in the name of really making great games and giving our customers truly what they didn't even know they wanted yet.
I know I was impressed with some of the features. I remember the first time I saw your Wizard of Oz machine, it was at the gift shop in the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you know, imagine having a game at the Smithsonian, and we had a game there about 2 years. The game was on free play, and it got thousands of plays a week. So Wizard of Oz was the first game that had all RGB LEDs, you know, LED lights that could be programmed to be, you know, millions of colors and different combinations, and you know, had an amazing sound system. It had two LCD monitors. It's the first pinball machine to have a full-size 27-inch HD LCD in the back box, and then in the crystal ball there's actually another mini LCD monitor that's just aimed right up at the player as a surprise when that gets going. So that game, we're still building it today. We still have orders for it today, even after we started building them in 2012. So really a great kind of evergreen title for us. We could build that game forever.
I'm a big fan of that machine. And I also really like the dialed in machine. The first time I got to play that, there's actually a YouTube video of me playing it over at Pinball Expo when you unveiled it. The thing that strikes me about what you've done is you've embraced a lot of new technology. not just technology, but also some of the social media things. I've several times done the tweet your game feature. How did you decide to do that one?
You know, it was real easy. I mean, I think of these things. I've been thinking of some of these things for many years. You know, tweeting a game is kind of easy. You just capture a picture of a barcode, and you'll be able to do that. But we have a Jersey Jack Pinball app, and now you're able to download it, and you're able to do things like shoot the ball right now and flip the flippers on the game. But there will be other usability added to that, where we're going to include other social interaction with the game. And, you know, the game also is the first pinball machine to have a camera on it. So when it starts taking selfies and you see that on the screen, people go crazy. So something that you might say is really simple and we know about it because you have a mobile device that's able to take pictures, when you see a pinball machine do that in a location, you know, people are just amazed by it and they start crowding each other and they start photo bombing each other and everything like that. So it's kind of funny.
And it's amazing to see, you know, how much pressure I think you specifically have put on the industry with raising the level of innovation. And one of the things I wanted to highlight to some of our listeners who really focus on communication technology, usually it's a lot of banks, insurers, or leading service providers that listen to our podcast. One of the things that I wanted to really bring from you is you decided to shake up something that was pretty stable for a long time. I mean, you incorporated social media into pinball with selfies and the tweet your game. Yeah. Did you get a lot of objections when you were bringing up those ideas for the first time with some of the designers?
No, I didn't get objection. You know, what I did was I surrounded myself with a lot of really great people, and I didn't mind if I was the dumbest guy in the room. Having been in the industry in a lot of different capacities, let's say as a technician and as a company that revenue shared games on location and developed amusement centers and developed other games, I was pretty well versed with what I wanted to do with a pinball machine. And a lot of us have dreams of certain things, and they may only pan out or they may only be important to us. It's great to think of an idea. You know, obviously everybody has ideas, you know, to take the ideas and turn it into something real, and then turn it into something real that's embraced by thousands and hopefully millions of people, and monetize that into products that generate revenue. You know, if you think about it, you know, when I started the company, we sold 1,000 games, Wizard of Oz, that didn't even exist, from a factory that didn't exist. And people actually handed us millions of dollars and waited 2 or 3 years to get Wizard of Oz. So building up a reputation in an industry, having people believe in you and your team and what you can do, and treating customers as if they were you or your parents or your brother or your sister, you know, just treating everybody as you want to be treated. All those things go into what's become, you know, CX. Everything gets rebranded with some new name. You know, a used car is a pre-owned certified automobile, right? So customer experience, everything is about customer experience. So we don't have any customers, we don't have a business. So, you know, creating products, creating services, creating things that bring value or solve a problem. We sell everything that nobody needs. We sell a pinball machine, you know, whether it's to home customers or commercial amusement operators. They could buy a different piece of equipment, but they choose to buy our equipment because of the value it brings to the commercial location or the experience it brings to the player in a home, you know, consumer environment.
And I definitely see all the customer experience aspects that you guys bring. I've one time I called the support line. I had great service over there. Your code updates. I like to check out the site for that kind of stuff. One of the things I'm trying to get some of our clients and some of our prospects to start looking at is ways to not be afraid of bringing in new technology and kind of owning some of the, owning part of the innovation process and owning the customer experience process. How could you help encourage that?
Well, you know, I think the first part of that is that there's a fear, right? Everybody has a fear of something, you know, and as A friend of mine last week called me a serial entrepreneur because I've started several multi-million-dollar successful companies, but I've failed along the way here and there with different things as well. And sometimes you learn more from a failure than you do from a success. So I think the first part of it is to try to identify what you want to accomplish with, you know, with the product or service. And, you know, while people are very risk averse, especially when you work for a company and you have to go to financial people in the company and you have to get things cleared, because nobody really wants to take a chance to fail, right? So, you know, I've always believed that if you think you're going to fail, you're actually going to fail. So a lot of it starts with really convincing yourself of what the product or service is, and really becoming an expert or consulting with an expert to understand the market, the industry, the customer base that you're going after, and what the competition is. I mean, you know, that's probably a really great place to start.
Many of the people who listen are in some pretty intense competitive business, especially our print for pay and business process outsourcer clients, where it's hard to differentiate. They have a low margin business that requires trucks full of printed mail to be leaving every day. So sometimes they don't think they have the time to innovate. What advice might you have for somebody who hasn't taken the time to innovate to get them to maybe think about it?
Well, if innovation can distinguish your company and your brand from somebody else, that's a big checkbox that gets checked, because nobody wants to do business with companies that are using an abacus and a yellow pad, right? So they want to know that they're doing business with companies that are really forward-thinking, leading-edge, technologically advanced companies, because they're going to feel better about what you do. Because if you invest in your business and your people, you know, your customer is ready, willing, and able to give you the business based on that. And you can actually charge more for it if you can provide you know, quicker delivery, or you can provide personal service. You know, one of the things I did when I had pinballsales.com was my company I started in 1999 to sell commercial games to the home consumer market when really nobody else was doing it. Nobody identified it. And what I did was I put my 800 number, 1-800-473-JACK, on the front of the website. And just to have customers call me to get a live person, just happens to be the guy that owns the company, and get answers to questions or, you know, information that they may need, it knocked out a lot of the people I was competing against, because on a Sunday afternoon, nobody was answering phones, or on an evening or different parts of the country when people would call me, I'd get the phone and people would be shocked they'd actually get a live person. So even still today with Jersey Jack Pinball, my customers know they could text me, they could call me, they could, you know, reach out to me if they have a question, they have a problem, they have, you know, they want to order something, they want to get some kind of answer. So a lot of it is the passion and the commitment. You know, it's not about, yeah, it's difficult. People work 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 hours a week. When is it enough? You know, when you have a passion and a drive for it, that's what puts you over the top, and that's what beats the competition, because well, they're sleeping or they're playing golf or they're out fishing or whatever they're doing. Nothing wrong with that. But you're taking care of business. But if you do it the right way, it's not work. It's just something you love to do. And it's really not a burden anymore.
And I could tell that. One of the things that I liked, I purchased a new in box Wizard of Oz from you guys a little bit at the end of last year. And I got a follow-up call from somebody, and I was never expecting that. I got a follow-up call. They asked me about the setup experience, all that kind of stuff. And that was, I thought that was an amazing touch that you guys went from, you know, manufacturing to all the way through the full customer experience to now handling selfies and an app and Bluetooth enabled flippers.
Yeah. And you know what, I'll call customers. I'll just call them out of the blue, and you know, they're a little shocked that I did that, or I'll write them a thank you note, or I'll send them a little gift or something like that, a handwritten note. And it's not being done today. It's really not being done today. You know, if you go buy a car or something like that, you think that's a big item to purchase, and you're going to probably deal with a car salesman who, you know, you might know more about the car information than the salesperson, and then you're going to be handed off to the finance guy, and then you're going to be handed off to somebody else. You'll never hear from that person again. We build personal relationships, you know, if you think about what I talked about before, the way this company started, really before Kickstarter, you know, you had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people hand us millions of dollars and wait for a product. You know, I have friends that own companies, they have real products, they have a difficult time selling them, and they have a huge accounts receivable department. They can't even get paid for them. And they ask me, you know, how did you sell something that nobody needs and you actually sold all those things? You didn't have it. And, you know, it's trust. You build that up in an industry and in your relationships and your reputation, which is extremely important. And that's what people are buying. You know, they're buying more than just the product. I believe they're buying some of the people in our company. They're buying that commitment, that feeling that we're going to take care of our customers and we want them to be happy and we want them to have a great experience owning the product and playing with it.
And one of the things we fight in our industry, we help people improve the way that they communicate with clients. So a lot of times banks and insurers are our clients. And one of the things we talk about is sign and decline. So once somebody signs up for a service like an insurance policy or a mortgage, sometimes the experience declines right after they sign. It goes from nice, glossy, personalized communications to maybe something that was clearly mass produced and cost optimized.
Right. You know, there's so many stories, but every sale that you make, every relationship that you have, an attempt at a sale, sometimes that customer comes back and they were impressed by you or how you treated them or how you took care of them. And they might not have, you know, made the first purchase from you, but they may make the second purchase from you because the company that you lost the sale to didn't do the follow through, or they were disappointed, or somebody else promised a low price that wasn't realistic. And, you know, you could tell a customer anything, and that's not reality. The reality is what the customer's reality is. Their perception is their reality, and that's what they're going to tell other people about, and that's how they're going to either reward you with repeat business or they're going to punish you, and they're going to go to a competitor, and you're not going to be able to acquire that customer again. You know, in many different industries, the cost to acquire a customer is very high. And the cost to keep a customer is very low when you think about it. If it's a box of candy, if it's a thank you note, if it's a phone call, if it's remembering a client's wife's birthday, if it's something like that, that endears you and your business to that customer, believe me, it's not all about price. A lot of people get pushed into this belief. It's all about price and it's all about price. In many, many, many industries, it's about the follow-up, the aftercare. You know, in our case, we sold you a game. We want to make sure the game works. If you have a service issue, if you want to update software, if you want to buy another game, all those things, it's really important to be accessible to your customers when they want the access, you know, not to bother them all the time, trying to sell them something. In a lot of ways, I sell by not selling. And that's, there's an interesting way to do that, you know, because if you're too pushy and there's too much pressure, people respond to that, and they don't respond well to that. So there's a finesse in how you do all these things.
Now, we talk about the customer experience that you have post-sale. One of the things I wanted to talk about is some of your products, because you have with Dialed In, the machine that's that one you officially released, started shipping in June of 2017, right, Jack?
Yes. We just started shipping this month, and we shipped about 120 games so far this month.
And I'm excited. I love playing that one. I played some of the early ones that were the beta ones. And the thing I like about that one is you went with a new theme and you understand the importance of design. So how did you and your team bring together all these new aspects, like the selfie cam, the drones, the Bluetooth integration with the app? How did you get all these people to work together on different technologies?
It's not easy. However, you know, I mean, creative people want to create and they never have a timeline. or a budget for creativity. Nobody wants to be told, you know, this needs to go down the assembly line. It needs to be done. I gave the team a lot of leeway. You know, I was able to attract and hire Pat Lawler in our industry. He's a legend. He made, you know, Addams Family, Twilight Zone, Funhouse, Earthshaker, Whirlwind, so many great games. And then what I did, this is our third game. I wanted to do an original theme game that's not a license, like a movie or something like that. And to me, you know, Pat Lawler and the team would be the license. And, you know, it was a big risk. I didn't look at it as a risk. I looked at it as a pretty sure thing. But other people looked at it as a great risk that you're not getting a mega license. But, you know, it cost us pretty much the same as it would have if we licensed some big movie, because we had to create all the assets from scratch, and we had to create the storyboard and the animation, the sound package, and all the things that the game became. But it did give the team a lot of freedom. They didn't have to go back to a movie studio to get approvals and things like that. So, you know, there's a trade-off for it. We were able to show some creativity and, of course, integrate different technology into the game, as you said, through the app or the camera. So everybody has a passion to make really great games. And that's the glue that holds the team together. And people could disagree about things. They could argue about things. But, you know, they all come together and then they agree and they make a decision and they go down the road together.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm really trying to talk about. And I love it when I see it in our customer base. We start to see kind of walls breaking down, where some people who design things for small screens start talking to people who design email campaigns, who design print campaigns, and some people early in the sales process start working with the people who do statements and invoices later on. That's always kind of magical to see, and I bet you saw a lot of that when you were making Dialed In.
Yeah, and I mean, if the common goal is taking care of the customer, right? If that's the primary goal, you know, in a lot of companies, I think the goal is to make money, which is ultimately the goal, obviously, or we don't have a business. But if the goal is to make a great product, have a great service, take the best care of the customer, the money will come. You know, if you price your products the right way, if you know what things cost you and you know what you can sell at market, you know, a lot of companies sell at a margin price instead of a market price. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good. But I think the focus needs to be, you know, the customer. That's where the focus has to be first and foremost.
I like one of the things I like about your machines is that you have a base edition, but you also have some premium and then sometimes some very limited editions as well. How do you come up with what you're doing for a limited edition? I think the most beautiful one is some of the finish on some of the Hobbit special editions. Some of those metal finishes are just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the differences in our games are, you know, they're not necessarily play features. It's cosmetic or customization types of features, because on the higher end game, we did a collector edition Dialed In that we'll build later this year. We only sold 150, and it was a game that cost $12,500. The people that buy that, the collector that wants that type of game and the special things that game have on it, they endear themselves to that collector base. And, you know, 150 of something, you know, pinball machine is certainly very limited today. So, again, you know, we want to give our customers what we believe they want, and sometimes they don't even know what they want before we create it, which is kind of a key in creating a product. And you get the response you want where you sell out of all of the games that you planned on building. So it's pretty cool when that happens.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that purple you have on the Dialed In limited edition. That's a great one. And I love the glass and some of the features like play field protectors that you're bringing in that are changing the way the market looks at things.
Absolutely. And you know, again, it's, you know, we created this glass years ago. It's a non-reflective glass. We call it Invisiglass. And, you know, people have bought, I think, thousands of sheets of it over these years, and they put it on their other games as well, because It's just an amazing product. There's not really much glare. And relative to what it costs, it's a great mod that somebody could put on their other games. And once somebody buys one sheet, you know, they have to buy a sheet for all their other games too. So, you know, it's a cool kind of thing and something that, you know, our customers didn't ask for that. I wanted to create that item, and we went to vendors, and it took us a year to develop that product and get it out in the marketplace.
All right. And kind of as we start to close down, did you have any kind of final advice for people who are kind of designers and innovators to inspire us to kick up our game a notch a little bit?
Well, I would say if you can dream it, you can do it. And really the thing about it is that you really need to be committed to it. The road, you know, the Ralph Waldo Emerson saying, you know, don't go the road traveled, go instead where there is no path and blaze that trail type of thing. It's difficult. Sometimes it takes you out of the comfort zone, but if you do it with a calculated risk and you have really great financial people guiding the creative part of it, you won't get too deep in the weeds that you're going to get into a big trouble. But you really need to innovate. You know, that's the future of everything. Everything continues to change. And the things that really need to be practiced and repeated all the time are the reinforcement of customer relationships. You know, the personal touch, technology is great, a text is great, you know, an email is great. Honestly, in my life, you know, I still travel the world, seeing our customers, going to pinball shows, going to places. Nothing really beats having a meal with somebody, having a drink with somebody, having a hug, you know, of those relationships. You know, the first time you meet a customer or something like that, it would be really great if it was all in person. Not possible all the time, but I really enjoy building those relationships, and it all comes back. You know, it comes back in recommendation, it comes back in business, and it just makes it a lot sweeter to do what you're doing, what you love to do.
All right, we definitely agree with that one. Over here, we have a user conference, our Inspire Days, and we love that chance to meet the customers. We get great feedback and great ideas for what to do with our products going forward. And Jack, I want to just, again, thank you for your time today. I think this is a great call, a little bit out of the normal for the InspireCast listeners, but I think you did a great job, and I think they're going to really love this this podcast. Thanks for joining us, Jack.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much, and good luck to everybody.
All right, thanks, Jack. And over to you, Mirza.
Thanks, Scott. And again, a big thank you, Jack. So we just featured Jack Guinari, founder of Jersey Jack Pinball out of New Jersey. And just to provide a brief recap, oh my, what a great, great episode we've had of the InspireCast podcast here. A few common themes I found Jack coming back to again and again and again. And yes, things change, but some things remain the same. And if anything, they just get rebranded. The talk, as our audience knows so well, the talk is now all around two letters CX, standing for customer experience. But it all comes back to the basics. Surround yourself with great people. Treat customers as family. Treat them as you want to be treated. And it'll all come back to you in spades. It'll all come back to you. And as Jack said again and again, you have to innovate. And to do that innovation, surround yourself with passionate people. Focus on the relationship. You know, we at GMC Software are the first to say, we're always innovative, like Jack mentioned. We're focusing on the technology, but nothing at the end of the day beats building out that one-on-one relationship. Whether you're having a coffee with somebody, sending them a box of chocolates, as Jack mentioned, or even just sitting down with them and having dinner. Nothing beats that one-on-one relationship. And that really is the heart of customer experience. Because without customers, you got no business. So again, to wrap it up, a big thank you once again to Jack. Jack, you are welcome back on the show anytime. And I am sure Scott will be there right with you as our host all over again. So to all our listeners of the InspireCast podcast, you can always find this episode and all other episodes on your sound platform of choice, be it SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and even Google Play. This is your host, Mirza Baig, signing off on this episode of the InspireCast featuring Jersey Jack Pinball. Bye for now. Ciao.